her family on the once-a-year barge. And someone else is driving Gertrude's car. Someone else is living in her house. No one plays cribbage anymore in the settlement bar, where she used to hold court until the 8 o'clock closing time every night. The bar's owner, a patient named Gloria, tried to ease the transition, rearranging the table so that no one would have to sit in Gertrude's old seat. People appreciated the effort, but it was basically futile. Her absence was inescapable all the same. These days, with so few patients left, there's no moving forward after a death in Kalaupapa. There's really not much moving forward at all. I used to love to explore the woods outside the settlement, which are filled with evidence of a much bigger town. Concrete walkways and front steps that now lead nowhere. Glass medicine jars and ceramic doorknobs shining in the mud. Once a friend and I set out to capture a wild beehive and found our target not far into the forest, inside an overturned, overgrown, cast-iron bathtub. At first I found these discoveries quaint or charming. Like the settlement's isolation, like its peculiar history, they were half abstractions, stories to tell when I returned to the outside world. But in time, I began to see them as the remaining patients did, relics not just of people they had known, but of a community that had dwindled to just them, and that would not last beyond them. No new patients, and no children, have come in decades. Every death is one step closer to the end of Kalaupapa as they have known it. In a settlement defined by tragedies, parents and children torn apart, years of forced isolation, funeral bells that once rang every day, this is the one that no one expected. The place that no one wanted to create, the place where no one wanted to go, is coming to an end. And even a prison eventually becomes a home, becomes something you mourn. Chapter 2. Molokai, the shuttle driver at the Honolulu airport, asked, "Why would you go there? They don't even have a McDonald's." This was true, I knew. Molokai, a 38-mile-long island situated between Oahu and Maui, also had no stoplights, barely a handful of restaurants, and a population holding steady at around 7,400 people. Major roads crossed rivers via fords, not bridges. When the rivers ran high, whole sections of the island would be cut off. The local paper would sometimes quote Uncle Merv or Auntie Paula without giving a last name. It was known as the last Hawaiian island, one of only two in the archipelago that still had a majority native Hawaiian population. When I arrived at the open-air airport the next day, a hand-painted sign greeted me. "Aloha," it read. "Slow down. This is Molokai." And the place I was going made the rest of Molokai look like Manhattan. A year earlier, in 2007, during my final months of college in Virginia, I had discovered an ad for an internship with Kalaupapa National Historical Park, which co-administered an unusual settlement on the Kalaupapa Peninsula on the north side of Molokai. It was home to 28 living patients, the peninsula's only permanent legal residence and the last remnants of a 140-year-old settlement that at its peak had housed more than 1,100 people. At the time, my friends were applying for consulting jobs in Washington, and when we spoke about our post-graduation plans, I held up the Kalaupapa job as evidence that there were too many interesting opportunities out there, that it would be a shame to settle so soon and so nearby. It was more rhetorical device than plan, though. I never really believed I'd actually end up in Molokai, boarding the little 9-seat Cessna for a 7-minute flight over the edge of the earth. Residents sometimes explain Molokai's geography by comparing it to a shark. The southern shore, with its low beaches and shallow reefs, is the belly. Halawa Valley, at its eastern tip, is the nose, and the long beach of Papohaku in the west is the inner curve of the tail. In between are grasslands, farms, and a rainforest cut by deep valleys. Protruding from the island's north shore, the shark's dorsal fin, is the Kalaupapa Peninsula. Looming over the peninsula is a cliff, known to locals as the Pali. It formed about 1.5 million years ago, when a landslide sent a third of Molokai crashing into the sea. The break left the island's north shore a sheer, impassable wall, 3,000 feet high in places, the tallest sea cliffs in the world. Millennia later, the eruption of a small volcano formed a flat peninsula at the base of the cliff, only incidentally connected to the larger island, Topside Molokai, as it's known locally. The peninsula is 5 square miles of land, surrounded on 3 sides by deep ocean, and on the fourth by the chiseled face of the Pali. In the winter, storms swell rivers and stir surf, cutting off all ocean access, and, periodically, trail and air access as well. The peninsula is an island within an island, a tiny, solitary world of its own. The plane skimmed briefly over houses and fields, and then the land simply stopped. The earth turned 90 degrees, from flat cow pasture to sheer cliff, and there was nothing below us but crashing waves, thousands of feet down. For a moment, I was afraid that the plane would drop